bless you all once again. In the house of the Lord this afternoon. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Welcome our Lord here. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, how it's life unto us, Lord Jesus, Lord, and we can take hold of it, Lord, and knowing those are your words, Lord, and they're eternal, Lord, and they cannot change, Lord Jesus, so we just anchor ourselves in your word and in your promises this afternoon, Lord, and as we come around your word once again, Lord, and in praise and worship, Lord, we just ask that you would come and bless it, Lord, to our hearts, and that your name would be glorified. We just commit all things into your hands at this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and sing number 187, Every Day with Jesus?
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every passing moment I love him more and more. Jesus stays and keeps me, and he's the one waiting for. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
My everything. Now, about you.
just we'll be having testimonies in a short while, so keep that in mind. We'll be asking for testimonies from Tauranga, from Rotorua, and the broad. Let's sing number 200, My Beloved Is Mine.
My beloved is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is mine. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and his banner over me is mine. My beloved is mine, I am his, and his banner over me is mine. Safe and secure in the rock and the manner of the sea is love. I'm safe and secure in the rock and the manner of the sea is love. I'm safe and secure in the rock and the manner of the sea is love.
Is ever the same? Let's have testimonies at this time. Zenny, you may be seated. Thank you, Brother Lee's got one. Just going to go and get the mic. Any testimonies? One from Sister Mill. Thank you, Brother Lee. Sister Mill and Sister Jan.
I'm going back a few years of my testimony, but on the 28th of June 1970, Shirley and I took the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, and today is the 28th of June 2020, and this 50 years to the day since we were baptized, and I really do thank the Lord. We're 87 and 88 years old, and we're still tracking along the road. Thank you, Lord. And in the year 1970, Shirley had a need, and she was searching for the Lord. She had a desperate need. That's her testimony. But she and Dawn used to go out to occasionally out to church together. I never went. I wouldn't go. But anyway, Shirley asked Dawn, because when Shirley went to searching, she asked Dawn to go with her. Dawn said no. So Shirley thought, oh, I'll just ask Merle. And she rang me, and Merle said yes. But I was literally following her. I was not interested at all. But we went from church to church. And in one church we went to, there was a sister who sang for the Lord. And in my heart, I thought, I'd love to sing for the Lord. We never sang as sisters as growing up. And I thought, I'd love to sing for the Lord. I never said a word to Shirley. And the Lord placed exactly the same thing on her heart. She never said a word to me. And after that, we got together, not knowing anything, but got together. And we were singing at the airport one day, and one of the brothers said, oh, you got the radio going? We said, no. And that's how he found out it was up, and he told the pastor then. And that's how we started. But the first time we ever sang together, was the good old convention in Valley Road on Dad's cow shed. We had meetings in the cow at the hay barn. We ate in that in the cow shed. And it was a fantastic, and Shirley and I sang for the first time there. And the song that we sang was Jesus and Me. And I want to say, we asked for that gift. God gave us that gift. We have used it for the Lord and the Lord alone. And we've sung in many, many places, funerals, prisons, wherever. And I thank God for that, because it was a gift that given, and we're using it for His glory. It's not me, it's the vessel He uses, and the vessel of Shirley. But I thank God for holding us for 50 odd years and still going on top of the world. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Well done. And do you know that you're going to sing it for eternity? You've been practicing all the way down here, you'll be singing it in eternity. Who had the other? I'll come back to you, Pete.
Thank you. Okay. I just want to thank you for your prayers for my brother, Niall. He's still in hospital in New Plymouth Base Hospital. He's having treatment for his legs. He's had an ulcer for years, and 7 hours a day they're doing something to clear his veins, but his legs are getting better. So I had an opportunity to pray with him and share about the Lord. And just pray for his salvation. He wants to, he knows God, just to have a personal relationship with Him. And he's very open and tender. And just continue to pray. He's probably going to be another week or so in hospital. But also, we've been praying for this. We got a phone call last week. A young friend, 18 years old, had a tragic accident on a skateboard and had to get flown to Waikato. And last night was his first night out of ICU, and praise the Lord, he's actually talking and responding. They've taken him out of the coma, and it's just baby steps, and he's in the new neurological ward. And his name is Paul Short, so if you can just lift him up, that he'll have full recovery. Thank you.
Yeah, hi everyone. Our pastor said to me this morning, he said, I got quite excited. I looked across the church and I saw this fellow with a cap on. I said, oh, he must be someone new. And he had such a young-looking face. And then he realized it was me. but I'd like to thank the church for all your prayers for me over the last week. I've had surgery to my scalp and also to my wrist. And the surgeon is quite confident and quite happy that all will be well. I'll know on Tuesday whether I'll need a skin graft, but I'm trusting the Lord that I won't. It's so great to have the support of all my church brothers and sisters at a time like this. And I'd also like to just to testify for our friend Dave Witherspoon that's been coming for the last 2 weeks. Dave appeared at our door this morning at about 9:15 without any prompting from us. He said, oh, I'm coming to church again. Oh, okay, you'd be more than welcome. And one of the things that he's appreciated over the last fortnight or so is the friendliness of the people and the genuineness of the people here. So give God the glory for that. Dave Witherspoon, thank you.
Any others? Must be me. Remember, I said I've been to Taupo twice this week already. Well, there was another blessing I'd forgotten about the first one. And the first time we went, because Barbara was with me, and I went to go and put the GPS in the car. I thought, what do I need the GPS in the car for? I've been over there 5, 6, 7, or 8 times. Not backwards. But when we were heading up on the main road towards Rotorua to get to Taupo, we were stopped on the road by the workmen because the police weren't there yet, but there was an accident just up. We didn't see it, but it was ahead of us, maybe 10 minutes down the road, and the fellow was killed, and they were stopping all traffic. And then I had to turn around and went down roads that we weren't familiar with in any way, and two big roads, and wow, where's this going to lead us? The Lord told me put the GPS in. Dived in the pocket of the car, stuck it on, all accompanied. He knows what's going to happen. But as I've always said, that we always commit ourselves to the Lord before we leave. And he was doing it before I was aware of it. Thank you, Lord.
I've decided to follow Jesus, and then I'll ask Brother Hill to bring the word.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Thank you.
Brother Howard.
Oh, turning back. Too late to turn back now. We're ready to get out of here. Who's coming? Praise the Lord. By His grace, we'll leave and say goodbye. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Why don't we get stand for the reading of God's Word from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. For in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation times past in the lust of flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. May God bless the reading of His word. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, Lord. We thank for Your precious word. We're just so appreciative to be associated with the gospel of Jesus Christ when the people have lost their way up there, Lord. So many, not everyone, but so many have lost their way, Lord. They don't know which way is home. But there's only one way home, that's You. You said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I pray, Lord, You'll speak to every heart this day and those listening with us on the internet, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. We're heading for summer. Praise God. This is good. It says there in verse 4, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Praise be to God. So I just want to speak about the quickening power. Now the quickening power is something that is supernatural. You cannot learn it. You either know about it or you do not. Some have it, some don't. There's nothing you can do. You can't make it happen in a person's life. But if the quickening's there, it's there and it's very evident. It's a great honor and a privilege if God quickens you. And the miracle is that even when we were dead in sin, God quickened us. And I'm sure you've all got testimonies how the Lord came to you in the early days. And, you know, we were not quickened in a prayer meeting, Brother Tim. You weren't in a prayer meeting when you were quickened. God just came to you. And that's amazing grace. We were in sin when He quickened us. That is amazing. He said that in verse 5. It was God looking out for His children. Just like Adam. When He said, Adam, where art thou? When He went into Eden, He said, Adam, where art thou? Now He knew where Adam was. He knew He's hiding behind those bushes. Because he felt convicted, guilty. Because he disobeyed the word of the Lord. But God was the initiator. God is always looking for us. Hallelujah. And it is by His predestinated grace that God went seeking for us. In Romans 3:10 we read, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, not one. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. that ought they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That exempts a lot. That keeps out a lot of people, doesn't it? So talk about the grace and mercy of God. Now, the word quicken actually means to arouse and to make alive. It means to arouse and to make alive. To make us wake up and be aware of God and His presence. This spiritual and natural quickening comes from God alone. The quickening of the physically dead. I want to speak about that for a moment. This quickening is very important. Else, there's no life. We know about a baby being born. Babies born have 10 toes, 5 fingers, 4 fingers, and a thumb. Can look really well, really good, got hair on its head. But you know what? If there's no quickening, it's dead. It's really sad, and it happens to a lot of people. Physically, they look like it. They're actually dead. The baby's dead. There's no life. They call it the stillborn. And I want to read from Luke chapter 1, verse 36. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, the angel speaking to Mary, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. So it appears that nothing had moved at all in Elizabeth. And if we go to verse 39, so Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb. Isn't that wonderful? Something happened. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? She had a wonderful revelation, didn't she? Didn't she have a wonderful revelation? She knew who Mary was, the mother of her Lord. So we know that it was a very wonderful experience. That baby was quickened when she spoke to her. The Holy Ghost filled her with the Holy Ghost. And you know, Elizabeth was not the only one filled with the Holy Ghost at that moment. Yes, John was quickened to life and filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't ask me how that is, but that's what happened. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 15. Prophesying about him, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. Isn't that wonderful? So God can quicken both soul and body. Praise the Lord. I want to read this from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And Elisha died and was buried, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites, this is time later on, the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming in of the year. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men. So they didn't have time to bury him. So they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elisha. And when the man was let down, and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. You talk about a quickening power. Who believes it's going to happen? There's going to be a lot of quickening going on. Wonderful Jesus. So we must realize that quickening on the inside, there's got to be a quickening on the inside before the outside. If we read 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them." Then we go to verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I don't know about you, this is going to be a very outstanding experience. I want to be a part of this. Who wants to be a part of it? The dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to be seen here in Gisborne. Won't that be wonderful, Brother Tony? See some of those old timers? Brother Searle and Sister Searle and Sister Hill, Jim. There's so many have gone on, we've forgotten. But they're going to rise. They'll rise first. And so, and it says here, where are we up to? "They shall rise first," of verse 17, "then we which are alive and remain," that's we're still alive when the Lord comes, "shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." This is going to be some experience, brothers. Hallelujah. Won't it be wonderful? Can you imagine it? You can? I can't imagine it. It's just going to be absolutely... words fail us. But it's going to be very wonderful and a great privilege to be a part of that resurrection. The word of the Lord is very clear on this point. Our bodies will be quickened. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, you know, you can read these outside other places of the church. They don't even know about this. Some do. But a lot of people don't even know what's going to happen. But we are right there. This is the time when he will come and take his bride and take us to the wedding supper. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That means we'll not all be in the grave. "But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye." I looked it up in Google. "The twinkling of an eye is a tenth of a second." It's a pretty fast resurrection. "And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." I believe this. We're going to need this. You're not going to heaven without a change, that's for sure. "O death," verse 55, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" This is going to be some glorious time, Brother Peter. Do you believe it? Amen. But there's a quickening of the spiritual dead too, the spiritually dead. This is important. Ephesians 2:1. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Colossians 2:13. "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh," which means unchecked living, "hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you of all trespasses." We said this morning, all. None, Sister Milton, zero. Clean and white. The righteousness of the saints. Praise be to God. The amazing grace of God teaches us to save us completely. God doesn't patch you. It's not a patch-up job. It's a complete renovation. Not only did he quicken your souls and bodies, but he did it before we came to earth. You say, oh, how can that be? The Bible says so. You see, just going to say what the Bible says. We may not understand it now, but one day we will. The Bible teaches that God has chosen you before you were born. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. He said, you are mine. Sister Roberta, he chose you a long time ago. You don't remember, one day you will. Hallelujah. So we see, it says, he did it before we came to earth. The Bible teaches that God has chosen you before you're born. We put all emphasis on what we do. It is true, we do receive him. That is all the workings of the Lord. This is so wonderful. In Ephesians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. At the meeting I went to, before the foundation of the world. Who believes that? That we should be holy, holy, and without blame. No blame in you. Before him in love. You talk about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So wonderful. Just like John was filled with the Holy Ghost before birth. What about Jeremiah the prophet? Let's read what happened to him. Jeremiah 1 verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. This is a wonderful God we serve. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Isn't this wonderful? And I ordained thee to be a prophet unto the nations. God's sovereign power and election. So God was quickening life to his children before they even knew him. The quickening from God brings the seed of God in you to life. You know, you can get a jar of seeds. You put them in the garden shed. They'll sit there for 10 years. But you put those same seeds into the ground. Give it a bit of water. Boom. They are quickened. And the life that's in them comes forth. Now, brother and sister, if the seed of God is in you, you're coming. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful, Sister Anna? Doesn't matter whether you're in Italy, New Zealand, or Greece, or wherever we are. If the seed of God's in you, God's going to brood over that. It's going to quicken that seed. Hallelujah. I love the Lord. Who loves him? It's just so wonderful. And the quickening from God brings the seed of God in you to life, as he said. So listen, the quickening does not make you a son and daughter of God. The quickening doesn't do that. It quickens what's already in you. It's just in you. And God's going to make it come alive. Just like a natural baby quickened. When the baby's quickened, it doesn't make it a baby. The baby was there, it's just quickened. Comes to life. Nor the quickening rain and sunshine make the seed into an apple tree. It's already an apple tree. It's already a seed in there. You know, they say one apple has all the bushels of apples in it already. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know. I just think that's absolutely amazing. One apple has all the bushels that will ever come off that tree in there. Who believes that? And if you're a child of God, all the life of God is in you now. It's just got to be quickened. And God will do it, not you. Your conversion does not make you a child of God. Your conversion does not make you a child of God. It just redeems you back into the family of God. What does redemption mean? To buy back. You are already a part of God, and He brings you back into the family through His death, burial, and resurrection. Wonderful Lord. We do not bear fruit in our lives to make us a son and daughter of God. We bear fruit in our lives because you are a son and daughter of God. You know, it's my father always used to say, I don't really remember this, Tony. He said, a Christian doesn't go around and put a sign on there, I am an apple tree. I don't know whether you remember him saying, he used to say that often. I am an apple tree. It doesn't. He said, you don't need to put a sign up, you're an apple tree. They know you're an apple tree because you've got apples on it. And if you're a Christian, you'll bear the life of Christ because it's in you. Wonderful Lord. So it's no more than an apple tree bearing apples. It turns it into an apple tree. I love this in Galatians 4, one of my favorite verses. Galatians 4:6. This is a very telling scripture. Because you are sons. In other words, it's already complete. Because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The reason the Holy Spirit came to me was because I was a son of God from the beginning. Amen. He's going to come knocking. If you're His child, He's going to come knocking. He wants to come in you because you're already a child of God. And He knows it. And He put you through the process of repenting and being born again. Of course, we know that. And that happens because the seed of God is in you. Just so wonderful. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you. God working in you. Because I got closer to God. I'm doing this. No. It's God that worketh in you. Both. Two things. To will. The will to do it. And to do of His good pleasure, not yours. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So quickening of your spirit is God calling to you. When God comes knocking, that's God wanting you to come home. Isn't that wonderful, Sister Jan? You get that feeling coming here? You feel it. It's real. A soft call. My little child, I want you to come home now. I want to get closer to you. I want to use you. I want to do something. It's a definite time that God calls or quickens a person to life. Yeah, I remember when I was a kid. I don't know how old I was. Must have been. I would say I was probably about 12. I remember up on the hills out here. Valley Road. It was up the hills. Molly Graham had just passed away. The dear sister. She'll be there. Oh, she got the Holy Ghost a week or so before she went. She used to be a Baptist, but God got a hold of her. And, you know, I was up that hill with a friend of mine. And I remember the deep calling. Wonder where she is. And he would say, oh, I want you to come over here and go up this. I think, where is she? I wanted to know where Molly Graham was. God knows that holy thirst. Brother and sister, you either have it or you don't. I hungered for that. I knew nothing really about God. But I had a hunger. That was the Spirit of God starting to move on me, starting to call me. I didn't even understand it. And every child of God goes through that process. It's not a learning. It's nothing to do with learning. Forget it. It's a deep call. It's a calling. It's a holy, sacred feeling of, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? And I was thinking about the sister. That really started me on the track. And I was coming down the hill and I was still thinking about her. And my dad went and saw her then. And then we started to get to praying. And we had some wonderful prayer meetings. The Holy Ghost came into the room that Sunday night. We were down on our knees and all whole family. Mum and Dad said, would you children like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, I was a bit like the people in the Bible. I didn't know there was a Holy Spirit, as it were. And my dad read from the Bible, Acts 2, and he said, they are all filled with the Holy Ghost. And when my dad said that, I had such a hunger. God knows the hunger to receive the Holy Ghost. I didn't even know what it was, but I wanted it. That's the call of God. And when we got down on our knees, I know exactly where I was sitting. And that 60 Chapel Street, I went there a year or so ago. I went right there and I could put a cross on the carpet where the Lord came to me that evening. My mum and dad started to pray for all the kids. I don't know whether you were there, Lee. I don't know, I can't remember. Were you there? And I don't know what happened to my brothers and sisters. But I know what happened to me. The Lord came into the room. I could almost see him. He came into that room. And I just felt his presence so powerful. And it was just so much love. I started to weep deep. I started to weep like a baby. Lord, do you love me? But I'm so unworthy. And the more I felt unworthy, the more he loved me. And the more he loved me, the more unworthy I felt. But he just saturated me. That was the most holy experience in my life. That's the first time I met the Holy Spirit face to face. About 2 or 3 weeks later, we were praying in the same room, prayer meeting in my mum and dad's big home. And the Spirit of God came on me. I praised God, this little Baptist kid. I reached out to God. I started to speak in a pure language. Nobody telling me what to say. No one was near me except the Lord. And I started to speak in unknown tongues. And it was such a heavy anointing. I couldn't stop speaking in tongues all evening. I could not speak English. Brothers and sisters, I say this from the bottom of my heart. That's how real it was. Changed me upside down. Took all the desires of the world out of me. All I wanted to do was be closer to God. And had many subsequent anointings and blessings that came in those weeks to follow. Not just me, other brethren were there too, but I could only speak for myself. There's a quickening power. The quickening power came on me. I'm very grateful. If you're hungry for it, even now as I speak, it's for you. Because God puts that in your heart. He puts that in your heart. I didn't work that up. Couldn't work that up. But he came to me and said, Adam, where art thou? Howard, where are you? I want you. And he came. That was a mighty blessing to me. And I just want to say, each one of you can have that experience. You must have it, actually. Maybe not exactly when I saw that the light was so bright. It just came from this side. It was just so wonderful. That's all I could. That was me, but that may not be you. The thing is, as long as you meet him. And I've had many visitations, many since that time. Praise be to the Lord. Who loves him?
Amen.
He's so wonderful. So it's a definite time. that God calls or quickens a person to life. The Bible says God's word in you is like that seed. As Christians, we must never judge from outward appearances. Look at a person, you can't judge them from the outside. You don't know what's going inside people's hearts. You might see somebody looks really spiritual, but it may not be in here. It may be in here. Go through all the forms of it. But that holy, sacred encounter with God is very personal for you, for God and the person. Because God has a time to call a person, and he'll be right on time. He'll come knocking. That's the time. And brother and sister, you're not going to get away from him. He's got his eye on you. He's going to bring you right through to a glorious infilling of the Holy Ghost. You know, I was thinking about Saul, how they could misjudge. You see, Saul heard the mighty sermon of Stephen, the deacon. He heard his sermon. Wonderful. Had no effect on him. He just stood next to the clothes of the people. He didn't maybe throw stones, but he was there. Had no effect. But one day on the road, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" That was it. That was his time. He fell down into the dust from where he was taken. He said, "Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It was God's sovereign purpose for Saul, who became Paul. He got up and he's blinded, gone blind in his eyes. He didn't want any distractions from this time. He went back into Damascus. For 3 days, he had time to meditate, and God dealt with him. That was just the beginning for Brother Saul, or Paul, who became Paul. The woman at the well, she's an outcast. She's just a nothing. She's just a bad lady. Why I'm saying this, brothers, is you can't judge people. Because Jesus said, "I have needs to go through Samaria. I want to go route through Samaria." If you look on the map, he went out of his way to go to Samaria. But he had a dear little daughter sitting on a well that he wanted to come to. It was her purpose. It's his purpose for her. We know the story. Transformed. She dropped a water bucket. She ran into the city from a prostitute to an evangelist. And she said, "Come see a man that's told me all the things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" And they all came out to see the Lord. Transformed. We're going to see her one day. Who believes that? Oh, yeah. She loved. Why? The seed of God was in there. She didn't know, but needed that quickening. The Spirit moved on her. She's quickened. God had a predestinated, appointed time to quicken his elected child. God's watching over his seed right now in Gisborne, or wherever we are, to quicken it to life. We all know this is the very last days. The earth is at harvest time. Everything's coming to maturity. The good seed and the bad seed are coming to maturity. We can see that as you look at the news. Every seed is coming into fruit. Sin is maturing, and so is God's children. Now God is a faithful orchardist. He'll prune and quicken his own. It says in John 15:1, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." You know, I always used to think, "Oh Lord, why would he chop off the branches of those that are bringing forth fruit?" Then in my ignorance, I didn't realize he's pruning to bring forth more fruit. We know if you prune, you bring, it stimulates growth. That's why he chastens us. That's why he corrects us, to bring forth more fruit, because you're his child. And God has quickened us to eternal life, and he will finish the work. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you and you and you will perform it, complete it, until the day of Jesus Christ. If you see a person a little dry, sometimes you meet these Christians who are really sad, like little thunderclouds. Just remember this. Maybe they just need a quickening. It's going to take God's Spirit to move on, and then it's all over. You can't teach them into it. God's got to bring it to them. A dry, half dead carrot is still a carrot. But no matter how shriveled it is, it's still a carrot. And a Christian may look shriveled. Sometimes they don't look very thrilling. But you know what? They're still a child of God. And God will bring the quickening on them. This is quickening season. And God's calling you to answer the call. I believe he's coming for a bride that is ready to go. Who wants to go? Shall we just stand to our feet, brothers and sisters? Lord Jesus, as we come to thee, we just want to say, Lord, how much we appreciate the quickening power of the Holy Ghost that moves upon us. Sometimes we least expect it, it just comes swooping down. It may not be dramatic fire and pillars of smoke. It's a sweet, still, small voice. But Lord, we just thank you for your quickening power to make us alive in you. I pray, Lord, you'll bless every brother and sister present and those joining with us. May they have the privilege of you coming to them. It's not whether we are super spiritual. It's not that. It's whether you choose to come. And your sovereign way, Lord, and move upon our hearts. Because we are your children. The seed of God is in there. That's why we respond to that, Lord. I just pray, Lord, you'll help each brother and sister here to understand this and to rest in you, to trust you. For I believe your coming is at the door. We're planning to leave soon, Lord. I pray that each one of us will be found worthy through the blood of Jesus to be there. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing, promise of love, upon us, Lord, rise to us now as we pray. want to say, brother and sister, that there is a season. There's a season for you. God has a season for you. And He'll come when you least expect it. I remember when my mum and dad invited us into the lounge room after tea that night. I had no idea that they were going to say, my dad, that, you know, we're going to pray that you'll receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't know what it was. But when he said that, oh, I felt good. I felt really good in here. I don't know why, but when he said that, I felt good. There's a season. That was a season for me, and I met God face to face, and He's been with me ever since. So, brother and sister, don't give up. He'll come right on time. He knows what you're wanting. He'll be there. There shall be showers of blessing all through the day and night. Now and through God we come blessing. Now Jesus shall be showers of blessing. Let it come, Lord. There shall be seasons refreshing. If we let God have His way. Who's wanting the showers? Oh Lord, let it come, Lord. Be right on time. You won't miss it. He's already got an appointed hour for you. Like the late woman at the well and all the many experiences we've spoken, Paul, Saul on the road. God's timing. Brother Taz, would you like to just come and close in prayer for us, my brother? You know, we are a very blessed people. Be under expectation. God will not fail you. He'll never fail us. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
Let us pray. Our loving Father, so much that we give You thanks for the life that we have because of our faith in Christ. Nothing to do with our works or religious acts or whatever, but because of Your kindness, Your wonderful grace, Your mercy. That, Lord, when we were all doing our own thing, as it were, You sent the Holy Spirit after us. You sent Him to so-called muster us in, to bring us into the sheepfold. Jesus, You said, I've laid down my life for my sheep, and I will lose none of them. My sheep know my voice, and they will follow. No other voice.
That's right.
but the voice of the true shepherd. So thank you, Father, that we heard from you, Jesus, today through our brother. Thank you so much for the anointing on him. Thank you, O God, for the revelations of the truth of the gospel that you are giving to our brother and that he is sharing with us. As you, Lord, through him and under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, continue to build us up in the faith and continue to encourage to us through every trial, every tribulation, whatever it may be, to keep focused on the reward that awaits each and every one of us. We ain't home yet. Lord, we have to muster our way through, work our way through trials, tribulations, all sorts of things. But our eyes are always on that blessed hope that has been promised to each and every one of us. The hope of eternal life with you, O God, never to be separated from you again. So, Father, we give you praise, glory, and thanks, O God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
How great thou art, how great thou art. Fame sings my song. Bless you all. Look forward to what the Lord has for us this week. Remember, there's Tuesday night prayer service, 7 o'clock here. And failing that, we'll see you next weekend. The Lord bless you all. Then sings my soul, my Savior.